السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وعلى ابنته الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين. قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله نور السماوات والأرض، مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح، المصباح في زجاجة، الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري توقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية، يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار، نور على نور، نور على نور، يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس، والله بكل شيء عليم. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه، يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال، رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة، يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار، ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله، والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. صدق الله العلي العظيم. أثيسيست، علماء الأخلاق، contend that there are three reasons and three motives that drive a person to respect the law. One of these reasons, and then they count the reasons from the lowest to the highest. They say that people have self-control over their behavior, over their desires, because of one of these reasons. And these reasons begin from the lowest to the highest, according to people's environment, people's background, people's family, people's values and cultures. The first of these motives are the fear of prosecution. When people respect the law in some countries, in some cultures, not necessarily because they love to respect the law, but because they fear the consequences. When some people have a full stop on a stop sign when they are driving, or when the people do not exceed the speed limit on the highway, not because they think of the safety and the security and the well-being of themselves and others, because they fear the mail when it comes and they have a citation for $300. This is what they fear. They fear the points on their driver's license. They fear going to the traffic school. They fear that their insurance is going to go high, not because they respect the law. So they follow the law because there are consequences. They don't want to pay the penalty. They don't want to go to jail. This is why they don't break or violate the law of the society. So this is one reason. Because they say, if one day DMV says there is no speed limit, there are no police today, tomorrow, you know, there are no cops in the streets, people are not going to respect the law. This is one group. This is one group of people. There is another group of people who, not because the law says so, because they have something called inner conscience, dhamir, wujdan. They respect the law of the society. They are careful and responsible in their driving, in their behavior, in dealing with others, when they go to the marketplace, when they go to school, when they go to the shopping mall, when they deal with their neighbors. Because they have something called inner conscience. And this inner conscience tells them that you have to love others. You have to love your country. You have to love your society. You have to love your family. You have to love others. You have to love the environment. You have to love animals. You must love. And you must show your love and display your love. So you have to be careful when you drive. Not because there is a cop standing out there. Even if there are no monitoring cameras or no police department, you still have to behave good. This is because of their inner conscience, dhamir, wujdan. Many people act upon their wujdan. Because sometimes God says, because you have a living wujdan, living conscience, this conscience is going to come after you when you break the law. When you abuse someone, when you trespass your limits, when you violate, when you break the law, this inner conscience is going to come after you and reprimands you. Where is this? This is in this book, in our book. Where exactly in our book? In a chapter called Al-Qiyamah. And Qiyamah does not necessarily mean the judgment only in that life, but it could be a judgment in this life too, before you arrive into that one. There is a pre-judgment. There are two types of judgments. One is the major, which is in that one, the final, the major, the grand. And one, the minor, here. The minor qiyamah. Allah says, لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. لا أقسم, though لا in Arabic literature, it means negation, nafi. But in the Quranic language, when God uses it, it means taking an oath, qasam. It means I take oath by the day of judgment. I swear, God says, I swear by the day of judgment. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. نفس اللوامة is what? Is the reproaching soul. The soul that comes after you. If you have wujdan, because some people do not have wujdan is dead. Their conscience is dead. It's dead. It's out of work. But if they have inner conscience, their inner soul, it will remind them. Sometimes it gives a friendly reminder. You receive sometimes friendly reminder from TNT, from Edison Company, from the water company, from friendly reminder. It comes to them. It tells them you did a violation today. Today, you broke the heart of someone, a human being. Today, you were spreading rumors, false rumors against someone innocent in your community, in your family. Today, you took something that does not belong to you. You shouldn't have touched that item because it does not belong to you. You violated. This is nafsul lawama. If we are connected with God, then this nafs al-lawama is activated. It's active. It's fresh. It's lively. It gives warning. Have you seen sometimes when you don't change the battery of this fire alarm in your home, it goes dead. Even if there is thick smoke, it doesn't sound because there is no battery. The battery is dead. If you keep the battery fresh, then it will sound. It will warn you. Same thing with nafsul lawama. If the battery of this nafsul lawama works, then it will warn you that something wrong happened tonight or today. You did something wrong. Violation. Go back. Go back to restore it. Go back to fix it. And this is part of God's grace upon us. God's mercy and a grace and a blessing. That He warns us. He warns us. Before it goes too far, before it goes too late, He would warn us that something wrong happened. You should go and fix it. So that is the second motive why some people respect the law, respect the rules and regulations. Why some people have self-control and self-restraint. And they have discipline in their life. Because they have inner conscience, nafsul lawama. So that is the second. Ulama al-akhlaq, the ethicists, they say there is something even much bigger and higher than the inner conscience. Much bigger and higher. And that is the best type of control. That is the best type of discipline. That is the best type of making you, your life wonderful and guilt-free. And guilt-free. And you go home and you have peace with yourself. Sometimes you have peace with neighbors, with your friends. But the most important type of peace when you have peace with your own self. You are not quarreling with yourself. You are not in conflict with yourself. You are in harmony with yourself. You keep yourself under control. Once you have peace with yourself, you are not going to quarrel with anyone. With anyone. You live in peace. Do you know why some people are troubled? They always complain. Always, left and right, complain about this, about the food, about the weather, about the street, about the building, about the neighbor, about the husband, the wife, the son. Because they don't have peace with their own selves. They don't have peace with their own selves. When they don't have peace with their own selves, definitely they are not going to establish peace with anyone. So what is that third level? What is the third motive of keeping us self-controlled? This is the subject of tonight. This is why we are celebrating and commemorating a lady called Fatima al-Zahra, to learn this lesson from her. She had peace despite many conflicts around her. Some of these conflicts were poverty. Poverty is a conflict. Poverty does not let people enjoy their life. When they don't have food, when your children do not have food, you don't enjoy your life. When they don't have shelter, they don't enjoy their life. When your husband is always coming back home with wounds and injuries all over his body. Her husband Ali. The Prophet dispatches him to this battle, to this military excursion, defending this town, defending this community. Ali was the defense minister of Islam. Defense minister today, he sits in the Pentagon and he sends the troops in harm's way. But Ali used to be in the battlefield. He was not sitting in an office, neither the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet would send him left and right. Ali had a brother called Ja'far. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, who was killed in the Battle of Mu'tah. Mu'tah was against the Roman Empire. Mu'tah today is a city south of Amman, the capital of Jordan. 2 hours drive south of Amman. There is a shrine for two companions of the Prophet, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, and Abdullah ibn Rawaha, another companion of the Prophet. They are buried there. Ja'far is the younger brother of Imam Ali. One day, God said to the Prophet, إِنِّي شَكَرْتُ لِجَعْفَرٍ أَرْبَعَ خِصَالٍ. God said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, I am thankful for this man whose name is Ja'far ibn Abi Talib because he has four good qualities. Four good qualities. What are these four qualities? And God said nothing. Just he said, four good qualities. He didn't tell the Prophet, what are these four qualities? So the Prophet asked Ja'far, Ya Ja'far, come here. This is Jibreel is saying to me that God is thankful to you. God is thankful to you. Sometimes your friend is thankful to you, your wife, your son, your neighbor. But when God is thankful, this is something big. إِنَّ هَذَا كَانَ لَكُمْ جَزَاءً وَكَانَ سَعِيكُمْ مَشْكُورًا. When God is thankful to someone, this is something big, not easy. So the Prophet said to him, Ja'far, tell me, what are these four qualities that God says I'm proud of him? You know what Ja'far said? Look at sincerity, ikhlas. Look at selflessness. He's not taking a pride. He's not making them public. He doesn't even speak about that in public. You know what he said to the Prophet? This is a lesson for all of us. A lesson for humility. He said, Ya Rasulallah, لو أن الله لم يخبرك بها لما أخبرتك بها. If it wasn't for God to reveal this secret to you, I wouldn't have come and said this to you. But because God, He mentioned this to you and you are asking me. Otherwise, I would not come to you and tell you about them. These are between me and God. These are not for public audience. This is not for publishing. So the Prophet said to him, tell me, Ya Ja'far, what are these four qualities? He said, Ya Rasulullah, ما شربت خمرا قط. I never tasted wine at all in my life. Ja'far was raised in a society where two items were the most favorite and they found everywhere in the society. And they used to call these two items Al-Atiyaban. The Arab used to call these two things Al-Atiyaban, the most two delicious things. What are they? Number one is wine. Number two is zina, fornication. Was so rampant in the society. So rampant in the society. It was widely practiced. In every house, every corner, Ja'far said, I kept myself safe. I never tasted a drop of wine. The Prophet said, why, Ya Ja'far? He said, لِأَنَّنِي عَرِفْتُ أَنَّهُ تُزِيلُ الْعَقْلِ. Once I realized that it will compromise my reason, my aql, my intellectual power, I didn't get close to it at all. at all. Though it was available in every house, like tea today in our homes. Who doesn't drink tea? Maybe one or two, but most people drink tea, many teas a day. So he said, I had self-control because I knew this is something that hurts me, compromises my mental capacity. So I put a restraining order on myself not to drink. The Prophet said to him, what is the other thing? He said, Ya Rasulallah, az-zina. I did not fornicate. I'm young. I have desire. The Prophet said, why? He said, because I knew that if I commit fornication with people's daughters and women, someone will come and fornicate with my daughter and with our women. لأني علمت إنني إن فعلت ذلك يفعل بي. It will happen to me too. So I'm not going to hurt people's women because I fear for my women, for my daughter. I fear for my daughter. I'm not going to go and hurt people's daughters. This is number two. The Prophet said to him, what is number three? He said, Ya Rasulullah, ma kadhibtu qat. I never lied to anyone. He said, why? The Prophet asked him why. He said, لِأَنَّهُ يُنْقِصُ الْمُرُوءَةِ. It will compromise your integrity and your dignity in the community. So I didn't do that. It requires a lot of self-control. These are not easy. Someone who's raised in a non-Islamic society where people always lie, and he's young and he keeps himself no lying, he speaks the truth. This is not easy. The Prophet said to him, Ja'far, what is the fourth quality? He said, Ya Rasulallah, ma abadtu sanaman qat. I never bowed down to these idols in Mecca. Every corner in Mecca had an idol, even the Kaaba, the top of the Kaaba. They placed their idols at the top of the Kaaba, the roof of the Kaaba, and inside the Kaaba, and inside the sacred mosque, at the Mount of Safa, at the Mount of Marwa, were filled with idols. But I never bowed down to any idol. Why? The Prophet asked him why. He said, Ya Rasulallah, لأني علمت أنه لا يضر ولا ينفع. These are a bunch of stones. They would neither hurt nor benefit. So I didn't waste my time. Yes, my friends, my colleagues, they used to worship idols. I didn't do that. You know what the Prophet said? The Prophet holds him from his shoulder. He says, Ya Ja'far, حَقًّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. It is mandatory upon God, حَقًّا عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ لَكَ جَنَاحَيْنَ تَطِيرُ بِهِمَا فِي الْجِنَانِ مَعَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. In paradise, you're going to have two wings flying all over the paradise, being unrestricted with angels. It's about self-control. It's about having a live conscience. When the conscience is live and fresh and you feed it well, it's going to prevent you from doing bad things. So Fatima alayhi salam, she has a husband who comes back every day, every single day, bleeding. And she has children who are crying because there is no food. Today our children cry because you don't buy them a new laptop or a new game. But they used to cry in the house of Ali and Fatima because there was no necessity, no food. No food. And they are children. But despite that, Fatima never complained. Why? Because of this third reason. I still have not mentioned the third reason, which is above conscience. That is called الذوبانُ في الله تعالى. The dissolution in God. Being melted in God. Giving her entire life for the pleasure of God, for the sake of God. She did not live for her own self. She lived for God and to uphold the principles of God on earth, to be a role model for other women. And that is the highest point of self-control. Al-dhawabanu fillah. This is why the Prophet said something about her that he never said to any person. To any person. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لِرِضَى فَاطِمَةَ وَيَغْضَبُ لِغَضَبِهَا. Why did the Prophet say this sentence? There wasn't any other description. This is a specific description. What does it mean? It means that God gets angry for Fatima's anger and happy for her happiness. How does that work? God is the God of the entire universe. He's not only the God of Orange County. He's the entire of Awwaleen and Akhirin. Not only humans, all inhabitants, the cosmos system. How does God agree with the feelings, the sentiments of a lady? Yes, he does. He does. If that lady, if that person, if that insan individual gives his entire being, his entire existence to God, God will reciprocate. And this is the exemplification of a hadith, hadith al-Qudsi. What does the hadith says? The hadith says, ما يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل. My servant keeps getting closer to me through virtuous acts, through acts of worship. Acts of worship, sometimes nawafil, you stand for prayers, extra prayers. Not only the mandatory, the extra prayers. Extra fasting, extra charity, extra service, extra dedication. Serving his parents, serving his mother, his father, his neighbors, his friends. Dedicating his life to make people happy around him. ما يزال عبدي المؤمن. Dedicating his life. Like a soldier. A soldier dedicates himself to protect his country, his society. So this abd, this servant, the hadith says, keeps dedicating himself to serving God. ما يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه. He does so much service till the day I fall in love with him. God says, I fall in love with him. حتى أحبه. Once I fall in love with my servant, فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به. I become, God says, I become his hearing. وكنت بصره الذي يبصر به. And I become his vision where he sees things with it. ويده التي يبطش بها. I become his hand where he executes things with his hand. Meaning everything that servant does as if God is doing. This is a parable in this book. God says to Prophet Muhammad, what does he say to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Inna alladhina yubay'unaka innama yubay'una Allah. Yadu Allah fawqa aydihim. Those who shake hand with you, ya Rasulullah, as if they are shaking hand with God. This means the hand of the Prophet is the hand of God. Of course, God does not have physical hand. This is a metaphor. This is a metaphor. God does not have a physical hand, neither a physical face. So those who shake hand with the Prophet, those who are loyal, sincere, as if they put their hands in God's hand. More than that, it says when you pay charity to someone, faqir, sitting on the side of the road, asking for help, when you put something in his hand, once you touch, your hand touches the hand of that person, bring it back and kiss your hand. Why? Because it has touched the hand of God. When you pay sadaqah, you touch the hand of God. This is a metaphor. So the hadith says that such a dedicated person, sincere person, His hand is the hand of God. His ears, his eyes are the eyes of God.
كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر بها ويده التي يبطش بها ورجله التي يمشي بها.
The feet that he walks with it is the feet of God. And then فإن, this is the result. This is the reward here. Listen to the reward. What will happen to that person? فإن سألني أعطيته. Whenever he says, oh Allah, I say, لبيك عبدي. What do you want? Tell me, what do you want? فإن سألني أعطيته. I'll give him. وإن استعاذني أعذته. If he says, God, protect me today, I have something important to do. Protect my house, my family, my children. I will protect him. I will safeguard him. Fatima gave everything for the sake of God. This is why God says, Fatima, the result of that, your happiness is my happiness, and your anger is my anger. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لِرِضَى فَاطِمَةَ وَيَغْضَبُ لِغَضَبِهَا. She's representing God. Her manners are representing the manners of God. Therefore, Fatima, her sentiments and her feelings were not personal, were not for the sake of herself. When she got angry for the sake of God. It's not because she has personal conflict with someone. This is why she said to Imam Ali, when you bury me at midnight, do not allow those people who betrayed me and betrayed my father to walk in my funeral. Why? لأنهم عدوي وعدو الله. Not because I have personal problem with them, but because those people are the enemies of God. عدو الله. They betrayed the Prophet of God. They betrayed God himself. I don't want them to be in my funeral. The Prophet in another hadith says, فاطمة بضعة. بضعة, what does بضعة mean? It's part of me. Part. Especially an essential part of your body, your heart, your soul. بضعة مني. وهي قلبي, she is my heart. وروحي, my soul. التي بين جنبي, that I carry with me. يؤلمني ما يؤلمها. What makes her unhappy and sad makes me sad, the Prophet said. ويسرني ما يسرها. Whatever makes Fatima happy, it makes her father, Rasulullah, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, happy. The Prophet one day turned to Imam Ali and said this sentence. He said, Ya Ali, Fatima tu ahabbu ilayya mink, wa anta a'azzu alayya minha. This is a puzzle. Mahabba and ma'azza. The Prophet says, when it comes to hub, to love, Fatima is more beloved to me than you, Ali. But you are more dear to me than Fatima. What does that mean? The Prophet tried to say, we have two things, mahabba, love, and ma'azza, dearness. The Prophet said, Fatima, because she belongs to my heart, she is my daughter, so she automatically and inherently, I love her. Especially when she has good qualities, wonderful qualities. I can't help not to help my daughter. Sometimes even if your daughter is not good, she hurts you, but you love her. Don't you do that, fathers and mothers? You love your daughters. So I inherently love Fatima. But Ali, you are dearer to me than my daughter. Why? Because I experienced your goodness. When someone becomes Aziz in your eyes, why does he become Aziz? Why you say to someone, you are Aziz in my eyes? Because you experienced that person. Experienced his good qualities, his patience, his ikhlas, his sincerity, his purity. So Fatima inherently is beloved to me. But Ali, you earn it through your work. Because the Prophet had many cousins, but they were not dear to the Prophet. Not all of them were dear to the Prophet. Ali was outstanding because of his behavior, because of his manners. Let me conclude with this. I started with this verse in Surah An-Nur, probably one of the most powerful Quranic expressions about God and the noble ones on earth. God and his manifestations. Who are the manifestations of God on earth? They are Muhammadun wa alu Muhammad alayhim as-salam. الله نور السماوات والأرض مثل نوره كمشكات. مشكات إمام الصادق says فاطمة الزهراء عليه السلام. She is the niche. See, this is the niche, mihrab. This is مشكات, where it carries the light. In the past, they used to have something like that, where they put the torch, the light. فاطمة is the womb that carries that light. مثل نوره كمشكات المشكات في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة. The fuel is continuous. Is it from that holy tree? Where is the holy tree? The holy tree are Muhammad وآل محمد عليهم السلام. يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار. إمام الصادق says مشكات is فاطمة الزهراء. مصباح, the light, is إمام حسن عليه السلام. The glass that carries that light is إمام حسين. الزجاجة is إمام حسين عليه السلام. The شجرة is Prophet and his family. Nurun ala nur, those are the imams of Ahlul Bayt, the descendants of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, till Imam al Mahdi alayhi salatu was salam. Those are the manifestation of God's light on earth. God has a light. Allahu nuru samawat wal ard. God is a light that enlightens not only the universe, the physical items, but your heart and your mind too. Who are the manifestations of these lights, of the light of God? Ahlul Bayt. Nurun ala nur. Yahdi Allahu li nurihi man yasha. See, this is something special here. God says not all people are entitled to get this light. Not all. They have to earn it, they have to work for it. If the heart is dark and people, they insist on that, on staying in darkness, they don't want the light, God is not going to impose this light on them. Why? Because يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah guides to this light whoever He wishes, He wants, He loves. So you receive the light, take care of that light. Do not extinguish that light. How do we extinguish this light? With our ma'asiyah. With our sins. When you commit a sin, the light is going to dim. If we keep sinning, the light is going to disappear. And if the light disappears, what is the result? God says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. If I take away my light from someone, he cannot get this light elsewhere. فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. Let's take care of that light. Love is not enough. The love of Muhammad and Al Muhammad alayhim as-salam is not enough, my friends. Love has to be joined by amal, by commitment, our manners. You've heard me saying this all the time. You've heard me saying this. Why we are distinguished from others? Why the followers of Ahlul Bayt are distinguished from others? Are they distinguished because of their color? We have the same color. Clothing? We buy the same clothing. I buy it from Costco. I don't know where do you buy it from. Not this one. This is not in Costco. Not by clothing or food or the skin of you know, the color of our skin, neither the zip code of our properties. We are distinguished from others by our akhlaq, by our manners. The manners has to be different. We have to be humble. Fatima became great because she never complained to Imam Ali. Why she never complained? Because she was not suffering, she was suffering. She was hungry, she was cold. In the winter she was cold. The Prophet one day comes to visit her with his companions after the Salat. When the Salat concludes, the Prophet said, "My daughter Fatima is sick. Would you like to go with me to visit her?" They say, "Sure, Ya Rasulullah. Of course, this is your daughter." So he turns to her house. Next door, he knocks at the door. He says, "Ya Fatima, I'm not alone today. I have my companions with me." She said, "Ya Rasulullah, of course, welcome. But Ya Rasulullah, I have nothing to cover myself with it." The daughter of the Prophet, she has no aba'a to cover herself with it. She's inside the house. So the Sahaba, they heard this sentence. They started crying. They said, "The daughter of our Prophet? We have one Prophet. And his daughter, his honorable daughter, she has nothing to cover herself with." This is Fatima. She never complained. وَكَانَتْ تَزْهَرُ لِعَلِيٍّ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ. Ali, who comes back home tired, exhausted. Ali was burdened with this risala, with Islam, with defending Islam, intellectual defense, physical defense, psychological defense. Ali was the only aide, senior aide to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali was the bodyguard, personal bodyguard of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he had many responsibilities. He comes home, he finds Zahra alayhi salam smiling. Zahra who is hungry. Zahra who sometimes did not have something to cover herself with. Smiling, happy. She encourages Ali. She says, "Ali, don't worry. This life is too short to be worried about. Sometimes we fight over few things, simple things in this life. It's not worth fighting. It's not worth fighting. We think that we are staying here forever, for another 200 years. Not knowing that we leave everything behind. Everything is going to be left behind. And we go naked." Fatima realized the secret. She knew that she's not staying here. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ, because God said to the Prophet, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ, Surah Al-Dhuha. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَلْآخِرَةُ, verily, the Akhirah, the hereafter, Ya Rasulullah, is your real abode, not this one. Not this one. Not this temporary one. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And then I promise you, Ya Rasulullah, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. We will give you to the point you will be fully satisfied. So they knew they are not here. And this is not only the Prophet. This is a message to all of us. To me, God is saying through the Prophet to me, Ya Mustafa, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. To all of us. Don't be misled by this dunya. Use the dunya, do not let the dunya uses you. Have control over this dunya. Have control over your desires. Today is the second day of Jumada Thani. Tomorrow is the third. Tonight exactly is the eve of Fatima's departure. The house of Ali and Fatima is sad. Hassan, Hussein, Zainab, Umm Kulthum are sad. Ali knows his beloved wife, beloved friend, his sweetheart, his soulmate is leaving tonight. Of course, everyone dies. Ahlul Bayt are not sad because they are dying. Ali was sad for something important. Because 10 or 12 years earlier, when the Prophet gave him Fatima, at the night of his wedding, the Prophet made a very important statement. He said, "Ya Ali, I have this dear daughter. I raised her. To me, she's a mother. Fatima to Ummu Abiha. She's so beloved to me. One thing I ask you, Ya Ali, take care of this daughter. Take care of my daughter. Ya Ali, hadi wadi'ati andak. Wadi'a means trust. I am entrusting you to take care of my daughter. That's the only thing I want from you." Imam Ali was sad because he did everything possible to protect Fatima and to make her happy and to respect her, but yet Fatima was murdered. Fatima was murdered. This is why Imam Ali was sad. So Fatima said, she knew that in a few hours she's going to leave. She asked Fidla to take the four children outside the house to a relative's house. She wanted to stay with Ali alone during her final hours in this life. Imam Ali takes her head. وَبَكَيَا سَاعَةً. And for a period of time, they were saying nothing but tears, both. She said to him, يَا ابْنَ الْعَمْ إِذَا قَضَيْتُ نَحْبِي فَغَسِّلْنِي وَكَفِّنِي. O Ali, O Abu al-Hasan, my husband, my dear friend, once I die, you take care of my ghusl, my shrouding. The Prophet left a shroud. Jibreel brought kafan from heaven. Four kafans. He said, Ya Rasulullah, these are four kafans. For you, for Ali, for Fatima and Hassan. The Prophet said, where is the fifth? Jibreel said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah says, Al-Husayn kafanuhu rimalu karbala. Husayn does not need kafan. His kafan is the sand dune of Karbala. He's going to be buried without kafan. So these four kafans were preserved for Imam. The Prophet used the first one, the second one went for Fatima. So she said to him, shroud me with this. وَدْفُنِّي بِاللَّيْلِ إِذَا نَامَتِ الْعُيُونَ وَهَجَعَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ. Take me to my graveside at night when people are asleep. And don't let people to know my graveside, because this is a declaration. This is a proclamation that I was killed, I was murdered. Let people know that. Defending Islam, defending my father's message. And then I want you to take care of my four children, Ya Ali. I know you are extra careful, extra compassion, but you know those four children, they need attention. فَإِنَّهُمَا سَيَصْبِحَانْ يَتِيمَيْنْ غَرِيبَيْنْ مُنْكَسِرَيْنْ بِالْأَمْسْ فَقَدَا جَدَّهُمَا وَالْيَوْمْ إِفْقِدَانْ أُمَّهُمَا. Just a few days ago, they missed
their grandfather Rasulullah, and today they are missing their mother Fatima. So please, Ya Ali, be extra careful with them. Especially, I want you to take care of Hussein. Hussein needs extra care.
So,
only 7 people carried the coffin of Fatima to her gravesite after midnight. 7 loyal people, 7 wonderful people who stayed loyal to the Prophet and his family. Once they reached the gravesite, Imam Ali turned to them and he said to them, Ya Abu Dhar, please, Ya Abu Dhar. Abu Dhar al-Ghifari was one of them. Please take the hands of Hassan and Hussein. Take them back home. I don't want them to see how their mother is being buried. Take them back home. So Abu Dhar took Hassan and Hussein. 1 is 7, 1 is 8. He took them back home. And then Imam Ali turned to the rest and he said to them, you also go back home and leave me alone with Fatima. He carried the body of Fatima. He put it inside the grave. Then he said, he turned to the Prophet. He said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. Anni wa an ibnatika an-nazilati fi jiwarik was-sari'ati al-lihaq bik. I'm greeting you, ya Rasulallah, on my behalf and on behalf of your own daughter, that she came immediately to join you, Ya Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, I have one request. Because Fatima did not let me know this. Ask your daughter Fatima when you meet her now, why her ribs are broken, Ya Rasulullah. Tell her what happened to her. أراعل للدنيا علي كثيرة وصاحبها حتى الممات عليل لكل افتجاع من خليلين فرقة وكل الذي دون الممات قليل وإن افتقادي فاطما بعد أحمد دليل على ألا يدوم خليل إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين